Welcome to Going Deep, an offshoot of the podcast, What Difference Does That Make? By Dr. Mike Courtney. I'm Mike Courtney, and for 40 days, we are involved in a spiritual adventure of going deep. If you are joining us for the first time, welcome. If you've been following all along, thanks for doing that. But each day, we're looking at a passage of Scripture that talks to us about what it means to go deep in our walk with Christ. Thank you for joining us for Going Deep. If this is your first day, welcome. If you've been following all along, thanks for doing that. If you'd like to know more about Going Deep or those or the podcast, What Difference Does That Make? You can go to branchesblog.com or continue to listening on podcasts wherever you find them, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM. Look for What Difference Does That Make? By Dr. Mike Courtney. Again, thank you for being a part of this, and join us tomorrow as we continue going deep.
Mana 3 Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Going Deep. Day 31. We are winding down. We will finish this week tomorrow, a couple of days of weekend, and then be in the Passion Week, the Holy Week. We make our way to Easter. And thank you for being a part of this for so long. It's been different. I don't know if I like this way of doing it. I'd appreciate your comments about it, but it's been different. We'll see how it goes. We'll do something different, perhaps in the fall. 40 days of going deep, and today we go deep. It is a heavy passage of Scripture, and yet a beautiful passage of Scripture. Isaiah 53, especially the first 6 or 7 verses. I don't think there is, it is a watermark. I don't think there is another Old Testament prophecy that more clearly articulates who Jesus is and what he would be, what he would do for us, than this passage of Scripture. Can you imagine 700 years before Jesus comes onto the scene, Isaiah is describing a Messiah that is totally unlike anything that the Jewish nation would expect. They expected a king coming on a horse in glory and a political power, a military might that would overthrow their enemies and elevate Israel to the place of highest honor. It's what they were looking for. And Isaiah describes exactly the opposite. Let me read the first 6 verses. It's just too good to not read. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one who from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I can't imagine a clearer description of what it was that Jesus would do for us than this Old Testament Isaiah passage. A couple of things very quickly. This is a time when, for some reason, there's just a number of people that Doris and I know and love that are going through really difficult, hard times. A friend who is undergoing the test to see how pervasive cancer might be, a young couple that we know and love that is facing news of a medical condition for an infant that could be just devastating. A wife who very unexpectedly and without any warning lost her husband, a guy that's fit and healthy and to see that happen. When that happens, and I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful, but very often these people, even friends of ours, or people that we don't know, clients, will turn to me. They come to branches and they want to talk to me, and they want to know what to do. How do they face this? What words of wisdom can we give them to help them get through this? And I will tell you, there are none. There are no words of wisdom. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do when you're facing these very devastating things, except to point to Jesus. And that last part of verse 5, by his wounds we are healed. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know where you turn. I just know that by his wounds we are healed. The writer of Hebrews would say, 700-800 years later, the writer of Hebrews would say, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those of us who are being tempted, who are suffering. And then a little later, the Hebrews writer would say, therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Today, whatever you're facing, whatever wounds or suffering that you face, the only answer that I know is that by his wounds we are healed, and we hold on to that. We look out to that. It perhaps feels kind of heavy today. This is not rah-rah excitement thing, but it is the message that God gives us for today. Whatever you face today, know that by his wounds, you have been healed. And that helps us to keep going deep. I will see you tomorrow.